Beer and Honey, the German football pod. Today, Dortmund stumble as fears rumble. League leaders Union Berlin get another 4 goals in. Thomas Tuchel says holding 6 oder nix. And Bayer Leverkusen stay on course to be this Bundesliga season's dark horse. All of this and more in this week's edition of Beer and Honey. Hello, dear listener. I'm Raphael Honigstein.
And I'm Christoph Biermann.
And we're delighted to say that we have another very special guest today with us, Borussia Dortmund insider Stefan Ursfeld, who is also known by those in the know as the Big Dembowski. Welcome, Stefan, alias Dembo. Before we start, though, let me remind you that Beer and Honey is still in need of your support. Yes, we're breaking all sorts of records every week as more and more listeners do tune in, but we still need a bit more financial backing so as not to fall foul of the Bundesliga's very strict licensing system. So if you can become a member of the Beer and Honey Supporters Club, or even better, an ultra, we'd really appreciate your help. But let's get on with the show.
And today, as Raphael already said, Stefan Ursfeld is our guest. He is an editor for NTV.de. Until 2021, he was a correspondent for ESPN. So you might have read some articles by him, and he was a freelancer for many media outlets. He has a background in the music industry, and as a Dortmund-born, he is a lifelong Borussia fan. Stefan, with your background in the music industry and being a big music fan, if Borussia Dortmund were a band, which one would they be?
Probably Manic Street Preachers. pretty raw at the beginning. People loved them. They were punk. They were rock and roll. Then one member went missing, and it all turned a bit orchestral. And they've lost relevance over the years, especially internationally. You see them as support acts somewhere, but no longer as the main act.
But who's the missing member at Borussia Dortmund? There are some candidates. Last year it was Erling Haaland when he was transferred to Manchester City. This year is Jude Bellingham, already a huge success at Real Madrid. Is that what you have in mind when you talk about the missing member?
Obviously not. I'm referring to Jurgen Klopp, who went missing in 2014 or 15. Well, he went missing in 14 and then left in 15. And Dortmund haven't really recovered. They have Edin Terzic now. And Aki Watzke, the main man at Borussia Dortmund, wants Edin to be the new Richie Edwards, the new Jürgen Klopp, but it doesn't really work out, does it?
I was in Bochum Saturday and talking to some of my colleagues that are reporting on Borussia Dortmund. What I heard surprised me, because they seem to be serious doubts about Edin Terzic, at least among the guys who are reporting on Borussia. What's your point on this?
There are major doubts about him, because he lacks the tactics. He's a motivator. He loves the club, and there's one fraction, especially if you had to X or Twitter, as we formerly knew it, there's like a main part saying Terzic out, and they've got all the memes already in place and saying that he doesn't know how to play. It's just like superstar football. This is the long boards to someone, and with Bellingham no longer there, Haaland was the main man. Sancho was previously the main man when he was there for his first stint. He doesn't really know how to play around pressing situations, and but what should Dortmund do? Go for another Peter Bosch, go for another Marco Rose? Never really worked out. So it's a difficult situation they are in again. But they've been in several difficult situations over the past few years. Their main goal has to be to qualify for the Champions League, and they could still be on course for that.
It was another disappointing game, just like their 1-0 win in the opening game against Cologne, but with a worse result. 1-1 they only drew at Bochum. Of course, the same result which derailed their title challenge. last season, or at least not conducive to winning the title, shall we say. Stefan, we talked about Terzic. How much is it down to him, and how much should we perhaps be a bit more generous and say Dortmund are rebuilding the midfield, there's a lot of new players, it will just take a bit more time for things to gel properly?
It might as well. He's always been a slow starter every season, or when he took over for his first stint, he needed a couple of games. What was his first full or second full preseason? But they never really had a preseason because they went on tour to the US and did not go in a training camp, unlike Bayern Munich, who had a full training camp. And he's been complaining that he didn't have it. And he brought in Sabitzer and Nemcha, obviously two players to replace Bellingham. And the system is not in place at this moment. And like Christoph was saying, they are already losing patience over Terzic. So they need results. They need them soon. They're playing Heidenheim, newly promoted side, on Friday, I believe. And they will need to not only win, but win with confidence and show they can do it. But maybe they will also need new structures. They don't really have wingers at the moment. Adeyemi is not really in form. Reina has never been a winger. Dino Gittens, the young Englishman, has injury problems. He only just returned. So it'll take a long, long time, but I'm not sure if he'll get all the time he needs.
Let me bring out in a moment the Bochum perspective of the game and leading back to Borussia, because there were many doubts in the Bochum camp before the game, after the terrible start to the season, going out in the German Cup at Bielefeld in the third division, losing 5-0 in Stuttgart with a terrible performance. But what surprised me is that Bochum was able to not only control, but kind of overwhelm Borussia Dortmund, especially in the first half, just by returning to their core qualities, that is determination, fighting spirit. They were also better organized and so on. And Borussia Dortmund and some of the players said it, were almost surprised by it. I mean that's so strange to be surprised, because it's even if it's only the small derby compared to the big one against Schalke, you know what's going on. It was a third 1-1 between Bochum and Dortmund in a row after Bochum went up again, and for me, among the 3-1-1s, it was the worst performance by Borussia Dortmund, because Bochum wasn't even lucky, but they deserved the point, but they could have won the game. There is very often, Stefan, the tendency in Dortmund to talk about the mentality of the team. And also, Julian Brandt said something that everybody is responsible to be in shape, every of the player to be in shape at the start of the season. Obviously, they are not. And being overwhelmed by this Bochum team, does this have to do with mentality, or is it more a lack of organization, or as Rafael said, that things have to gel? How do you see it?
I think we also have to put the 27th of May into our thoughts here, because it's still a traumatic experience. Dortmund were en route to win the championship. Bochum away had derailed them for the 1-1 in late April. And but they're still on course to win the champions, the Bundesliga at least. They didn't do it because they were so fearful that day, and they didn't really digest it so far. It's feels like it's a traumatic experience. And then losing Bellingham, the center of your midfield, losing Guerrero, a player who can free yourself from pressing situations, if it's from left back or from central midfield. So there are a couple of factors, but mentality comes into play. It's a bit weird hearing, I think it was Gregor Kobel saying, we were surprised by the intensity Bochum came at us. So if you're playing Bochum away, that's the only way they can have a success in the game, is to attack you, to go into those duels, direct duels. You have to be prepared for that. So it's not organization, it's mentality again. It's always mentality with Borussia. And he in Terzic already tried to get Marco Reus out of the equation, and he benched him for the first time this season, trying to bring in new stability with Sabitzer and Nemcha in midfield. So he was playing three central midfielders with Emre Can, Nemcha and Sabitzer. But you have to win the second balls, and you have to be prepared for Bochum to go at you and to play long balls, like ahead of the 1-0, where they were caught out on the right back side.
Stefan, mentality is also a byword for quality. Players who are always on it, always focused, that's what makes them very special. Do you sense that after Jude Bellingham's departure, which apparently was seen not something universally negative, at least in some sections of the Dortmund dressing room, if reports are to be believed, that Dortmund lack a little bit of the X factor this season? It seems to me that the players that have come in are all solid, all good, very good players, but I don't get the sense of excitement and the sense of awe that we've had over the last few years or over some of the individual players that Dortmund has had. It doesn't seem to be there this season. At least we haven't seen it yet.
No, we haven't seen it yet. There's Julian Brandt, who can be special. He tried to at least be special on Saturday. He had a few moments for Dortmund. But there are no players to be excited about. Like you're saying, Bellingham, Haaland, Sancho, the previous years. But that's also because they have changed their philosophy. From buying young and talented players from abroad to bringing in more German internationals, or in the case of Sabitzer, players who speak German tongue and who've known the league for many years. So there's only one player he only featured in the Mainz match so far, Duan Will, a young winger, who gives you some sort of like X factor, as you're saying, but we don't know yet, because we've only seen him for 20 minutes. And there's nothing to be excited about, unlike Leverkusen, for instance, who brought in Boniface from Royal Union Saint-Gilles from Belgium. But he played in Germany a couple of times last season in the Europa League. And you could already see this player is a real deal. Dortmund scouting has changed over the past few years, because they wanted to bring in stability. So they were a much older team now, and less exciting, like the Manic Street Preachers.
Coming back to this Manic Street Preachers and the missing Jürgen Klopp, maybe the question is going a bit too far, because the season has just started and things just get rolling. But it looks as if this identity crisis Borussia Dortmund is in, probably since the departure of Klopp, hasn't been solved. I mean, you've talked about the change of philosophy, going to more experienced players, or not be the stepping stone for super talents. What is it? What Borussia is standing for right now, and what do you think they should stand for as a fan?
What do they stand for? For solid second places, record feats, as I call them these days. they're in a difficult situation. They will never really be able to to challenge Bayern for longer than one season. They were in that situation last season. So didn't work out, we all know, because they blew it, just like they tend to do it a couple of seasons ago when they were, I think it was 9 points clear off, or is it, the first Favre season. And it's, I can't tell you what they stand for. They stand for this great stadium, great set of fans, but their football is somehow lost. It's like they win games, and usually it's not that exciting. They're no longer like the hipster team of anyone, not even in the Ruhr area, where people tend to go to see VfL Bochum as the hipster team, because they have the mentality, well, like you do. And so I can't tell you what Dortmund stand for these days, because they don't know. They want to be a club attached to the region. They want to be a club attached in the city. And I think that's working with Edin Terzic. But on the pitch, there's no real idea where they are going and what the plan is for the next two or three years. I think the main goal now is to get into the new Champions League, to get more money next season with the 36 teams coming in. And then it's another Umbruch season, as I've been having since 2013, maybe, when the players left and Götze left for Bayern Munich.
Yeah, so that's Umbruchsaison. It's another learning football, Deutsch, Raphael. What would that be?
Learning football Deutsch with beer and honey. A transitional season, yeah. Stefan, you wrote a very moving article after Dortmund's last match of the season, stressing the positive, stressing the special atmosphere, that sense of communion that seemed to exist between the fans and the players and the whole club coming together in defeat and finding a very positive outlook for the new season. I got the very same sense talking to Julian Brandt a few weeks ago, that he seemed to be very positive about, yeah, maybe not, if not learning from that trauma, but at least using it as a motivating factor and as something that can bring a team closer together. That, can all of that already be gone after a couple of underwhelming performances, or was it only skin deep and wishful thinking? We are, you included, very, very negative after being quite positive about Dortmund just a couple of months ago.
I think you can all explain it. I think that the trauma, you can't just go over trauma in two or three matches that they played one cup match. It will take some time, because I think they come out onto the pitch again at the Westfalenstadion and see what they could have been in May, back in May. And it's not an entirely new team. They have a couple of players in midfield, but they haven't lost that many players. And a lot of our players are still there from last season. Most of them are. And there are, although I'm negative, I also said they are slow starters. And once Dortmund start rolling, like they did 2023 in January or in February when football returned after the World Cup, it's always possible with the Dortmund to form a unity and to have those fans backing you. And they have not been beaten at the Westfalenstadion since, in the Bundesliga at least, since the 2-3 against Bremen, which was one for the ages, when they were leading 2-0 in the 89th minute. Well, that's a year ago. So not Union Berlin, who haven't been beaten in 18 months, but still very, very good at home, and they beat Bochum, Cologne. It will take time, and you can be negative, but also have an outlook to the future, which will be, they have a couple of good games now, Heidenheim, they play Hoffenheim, I think, Wolfsburg. Wolfsburg should be the real test. We'll see where they go. Dortmund's always, you've covered Dortmund for many, many years, and you know how they are. They always look for inspiration in what could have been in the past, and look towards the future. It's difficult even for Julian Brandt. It's a once in a lifetime chance to be Deutscher Meister with Borussia Dortmund.
Before we let you go, Stefan, Borussia has 4 points after two disappointing performances. So maybe that's the positive takeaway from the start of the season. Good luck for Borussia. Good luck for yourself. Thanks a lot. And I think we'll meet again this season, either to discuss more the mentality of Borussia Dortmund or how things started to roll. Let's see. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for the invite. Take care.
Thank you, Stefan. Bye.
Bye.
After talking to Uli Hesse some weeks ago, again, Stefan, I mean, it's almost heartbreaking how difficult for Borussia Dortmund fans it seems to be to come over this day in May.
Yeah, a very downbeat assessment from Stefan Ursfeld. But as you said, they have 4 points. And we should also remind our listeners that Edin Terzic has only lost one game in 2023. And that was that fateful 4-2 defeat in Munich, where Gregor Kobel so uncharacteristically made that mistake to open the door to Bayern. So let's give him a bit more time. Let's focus on the positives and see if they can improve in recent weeks. But he mentioned it. There is a team that is definitely flying at the moment. Well, there are a couple. One from the German capital. Perhaps we start with them. After their 4-win win over Mainz last week, they had another 4-1 win, this time away to Darmstadt, and another 3 goals from headers. Yes, Union Berlin from set pieces. Very, very good team. All watched by Hansi Flick and Rudi Völler in the stands after some criticism that they were perhaps not picking the right players. I'm sure you would have taken a keen interest in Kevin Behrens, who scored again, in Robin Gosens, who scored 2 goals on his starting debut, and in Rani Kadira, who sadly didn't play. But I'm sure he would have been on Flick's radar as well. Christoph, you're very close to Union from your previous engagements as a chronicler of their first Bundesliga season. Are we running out of superlatives? Are we still feign surprise of what's going on? Or is this just a logical progression of perhaps the best run club in the Bundesliga?
Even Urs Fischer is calling this a fantastic performance of his team. A man who is shying away from superlatives normally. It was good. It was also good to see that Robin Gosens seems to work instantly. I mean, he scored 2 goals. He scored. It was his first brace in his professional footballer's career. And he scored a goal after 4 minutes. They scored 3 of the 4 goals, although they were one man down. I mean, what else can you say about the team, about organization, about mentality, and also quality? And I think I said it already last week that my impression is that the team has improved compared to last season. More quality players, a lot of in-form players. We're still waiting if Leonardo Bonucci will also strengthen the team. At least we know that probably. No, we have to know it at least at the 1st of September when the transfer window is closing. So, all great at Berlin. Raphael, also kind of all great, but not flying, is Bayern Munich. They had a 3-1 win against Augsburg. They played okay. they deserved to win. So they, but it was not this fantastic rolling performance you would probably you kind of expect from them. And we still have this ongoing discussion about transfers, a bit tiring for the outsider, but for the insider, very fascinating, because now all the talk is about Alexander Pavlovich, a 19-year-old from the under-23 team, because he is the fourth man for the position of the double six. And Thomas Tuchel mentioned him, I think, to explain the public that that is probably not enough if you want to play a lot of games, not only in the Bundesliga, but in the Champions League. Raphael.
Yeah, it was one of those jokes that are not a joke, you know. he tried to be funny, but at the same time send a message. Very disconcerting for Ryan Gravenberch, who was not even mentioned in that lineup of the central midfielders that Tuchel can call upon. He's again out of the picture. He did play about 10 minutes, but Tuchel has let it be known that he's not really the biggest fan and would probably very much like to move him on, especially if he can then sign somebody else. Now, time is running out. The kind of player that can do what a defensive midfielder at Bayern can do, which is not just to fight, not just to win balls, but to actually play and be the complete package, I think it's going to be very difficult, especially with the board not being 100% convinced that there is a big need to spend big in this position. Tuchel himself, I think, has undermined the argument slightly by making Goretzka and Kimmich work quite well together. He said, well, we're pushing them to their limits, as if, you know, these guys have never really successfully played in central midfield. But he does seem convinced that he needs somebody a bit different. As I said, the board less convinced. But perhaps another thing worth talking about before we move on is that it seemed to be almost a bit of a test case, this game. Tuchel wanted his team to be quite static, to be quite, as you said, Christoph, controlled, quite pragmatic. He, I think, is putting more emphasis on Bayern's balance and stability rather than their attacking fluidity. We saw a lot of great attacking from Julian Nagelsmann, where there was a lot of movement, a lot of changing of positions, a lot of different little patterns. I think Tuchel wants the team to be more disciplined in position. And then it means, as he said last week, beating your man in 1v1s, because, you know, the ball goes wide. And then if you beat your man, then you create things. If not, then the ball goes back again. So it can look a little bit slow. It can look a little bit underwhelming. But it seems to be his own sort of personal mission to make Bayern more stable before they can perhaps add more elements with the ball. So in that respect, I think things are going quite well for him.
There's also this talk about Benjamin Pavard leaving. Tuchel stressed that he is looking very much at his career right now, but he doesn't criticize him for this. Probably he can leave if Bayern finds a replacement. Wilfried Ndidi seems to be a candidate from Leicester City. At least he was mentioned. I don't know what you heard about this.
But he's a midfielder, he's not a right back.
Are there any serious candidates to replace Pavard you've heard about?
There's a few players that are being mentioned. Trevor Chalobah from Chelsea, of course, who's somebody that Tuchel has worked with, is one of them. Bayern wants somebody in the Pavard mold, so a centre-back that can also be a right-back, or right-back that can also be a centre-back. There's still talk about Amel Belakotchup.
But he's a central defender.
But people think, there is an assumption that he can probably do a job as a right back, possibly. Not easy with less than a week to go to find somebody from of the quality that Bayern will need in that position. But Pavard, I think Pavard will go. Pavard will go, and Bayern will have to scramble to find a replacement very quickly.
At least they solved their problems on the goalkeeper's position. Daniel Perez from Maccabi Tel Aviv is coming at 23 years old. Got a great farewell in Tel Aviv from the Maccabi fans, but how enthusiastic is the saying hello at Munich? After all the names that have been discussed, it sounds a bit underwhelming, I would say. But maybe that's unfair.
Yeah, I think Bayern's thinking has shifted a little bit. They wanted a really strong number two that can then maybe challenge and take over for Manuel Neuer. At the beginning of the transfer window, they were really far along with both Kepa and David Raya of Brentford, now at Arsenal. But as those options dwindled and as Sven Ulreich made a decent start to the season, their thinking changed a little bit. And they said, okay, actually, Ulreich is good enough for the moment. We're going to sign somebody who's happy to be number three. And then maybe in a couple of years, see how good they are, whether they can challenge Neuer or they're just going to be a very good number two in the next few years. I think that is Daniel Perez's position. He's a very talented goalkeeper. He's very good on the ball. He's very tall. He's got good presence. Really nice guy as well, by all accounts. But I think a bit of an unknown quantity. I think they'll look very closely now in training how good he is. And maybe he gets a game in the cup when they play in the end of September, their first round, the game that couldn't be played because they played against Leipzig in the Super Cup. And then we'll know a bit more. But yeah, not the star player that Bayern fans were secretly hoping for, but again, a reflection of Neuer's special position, because it was almost a case of we can't sign too good a player, otherwise it might upset Manuel Neuer, which is not something that you'll find in other positions necessarily at Bayern.
Let's move on from Munich to Mönchengladbach. If we talk about this for a second from the Borussia perspective, I think the best thing happened before kickoff, because they had a fantastic choreography in the Nordkurve in Mönchengladbach, remembering a magic moment of the club's history, the German Cup final in 1973. Günter Netzer, put himself on after 90 minutes for the extra time against Cologne, and then scored the decisive goal. And he announced this that he decided to come on the pitch and not coach Hannes Weisweiler with "Ich spiel dann jetzt." I don't know how this would be the exact translation to it. I just play now, or how would you say that? Ich spiel dann jetzt.
Yeah, I'll go on now.
I go on now, yes. And he said, I go on now. And he went on the pitch and scored the decisive goal in one of the, I think probably the best or one of the best German Cup finals in history. But that's all history. I think it was a bleak evening for Borussia Mönchengladbach, where a lot of these doubts we had about them seemed to be confirmed. But, Raphael, Bayer Leverkusen, Jesus, they look good. And how did Xabi Alonso say, we all are very tranquil.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to stay tranquil or tranquilo when you play this well. Leverkusen are already, after that second win, tipped to be Bayern Munich's best or strongest contenders. And rightly so, because they play great football. They have strengthened really well. Their new players are functioning well, especially Victor Boniface, who scored two goals, who looked really excellent. Too hot to handle for the Gladbach defense. And yeah, there is a real sense of momentum and positivity around this Leverkusen team. We talked last week about the record number of season tickets that they sold. And yeah, I can't remember in a long time, Christoph, I think we have to go 20 years to a similar kind of excitement about the Leverkusen team that even neutrals get behind. And it's just a fun team to watch.
Yeah, sexy football.
Sexy indeed.
There is another team that played probably not sexy football, but wild, impressive, overwhelming football, at least in the second half. And that was on Friday in Leipzig. Stuttgart, who looked very good in the first half, were 1-0 up. And then were destroyed by RB after probably powered by rage, because they were furious because there was a penalty denied. I think rightly so, but who am I? But Marco Rose was fiercely attacking the referee on the pitch when he was going in. To the dressing room, but Marco Rose did something interesting then. He didn't change, so the same players come up and they, destroyed or were eating up VfB Stuttgart. Xavi Simons and Dani Olmo looked like a perfect midfield couple. David Raum was fantastic. I'm not so impressed in general by him. So, what's your takeaway from this game, Raphael?
Yeah, they were hugely impressive, Leipzig. Still, I think, a work in progress, still a little bit uneven. They can have poor halves, as we saw last week when they lost, of course. But this one was very, very strong after the break. They have so much quality. Dani Olmo continues to shine. I think Leipzig would be really happy when the transfer window is closed, because to lose him would be, I think, tragic, even if they can generate a lot of money. Xavi Simons, who's come in, looks really lively. Loyo Penda is already a real factor in attack with his pace and his movement. Yeah, it's a good team to watch. Really good team to watch. As I said, a little bit uneven. They don't have that sense of composure that you get from Leverkusen, that you also, of course, get from Bayern at a different level. But especially with the view of them playing in the Champions League and going strong again domestically, I think it could be a good season. And I think we have to stress this again. It's easy to forget. Having lost Szoboszlai, Gvardiol, Nkunku, and Lima, I mean, these are not just key players for them. These were really some of the best players in the Bundesliga last season. To go without them and to continue to play, as I said, slightly unevenly, but still overall in a pretty impressive manner, we should pay them a lot of compliments for that.
Yeah, and as you all know, I'm not at all a supporter of this club that isn't a club, but I think we have to respect the quality of the recruitment. And if we talked about Borussia Dortmund, for example, I think they could learn from them. It's not nice to say that, because I think RB Leipzig is especially hated at Dortmund, but the quality of the recruitment, how they develop squads and so on, that's really impressive. It's also, as you said, fun to watch. Yeah. So next Sunday, the big one, drum roll. Union Berlin playing RB Leipzig. This will be, I don't know, fun? Probably not. because I think Urs Fischer is already on his way to prevent it to be too much fun. but we have to wrap up the rest of the Bundesliga. Are your feelings with Heidenheim, Raphael? They played very well. They were 2-0 up against Hoffenheim. And Frank Schmidt, their coach, said even with the draw, he would have been unhappy. And in the last 15 minutes, they gave it away.
Yeah, I have yet to develop strong feelings either way about Heidenheim, Christoph, I have to say. So it left me a little bit cold, but yeah, they showed that they can be competitive and score goals. I think that's a positive for them to take into the next few games.
A team that has belongs to the not so big group of teams that with 6 points is Wolfsburg. They were winning 2-1 at Cologne, and Jonas Wind, the Danish player, scored twice again. So he scored all the 4 goals Wolfsburg had. Steffen Baumgart, Cologne's coach, very frustrated that he had substitute Davy Selke a third time because of his injury problems in 3 games in the Cup and in the Bundesliga. So maybe problems coming for Cologne. We had a local derby in the Rhein-Main area between Mainz and Frankfurt. Everybody there is saying it's not a derby or not the real derby or whatever, but it was a very heated affair with Ansgar Knauf going down after a yellow-red card and Frankfurt scoring the equalizer in additional time. Did you see, Raphael, some bits of Frankfurt's first leg to qualify for the Conference League at Sofia, where they conceded a late equalizer and go to the second game in Frankfurt on Thursday with a 1-1?
I did not. I was at Daniel Peretz's last game for Maccabi, also in the Conference League qualification, against Slovenian side Zelje. So I sadly could not take in much of the Frankfurt trip to Sofia. Okay.
Also something learning Fußballdeutsch.
Learning Fußballdeutsch with Beer and Honey.
Etwas für Fußballfeinschmecker. What is this? So Maccabi against Zelje from Slovenia is for the football gourmet.
Yeah, the connoisseur.
For the connoisseur. You saw this guy. Was he great? Did he save his team? Or
there was one shot from Zelje, which he parried into the path of another player and they scored. And apart from that, he had really nothing to do. He looked good on the ball, some really good passing. But yeah, as a scouting mission, it wasn't very enlightening. but it was a good atmosphere. Eran Zahavi scored a hat-trick, the veteran. And yeah, Maccabi have some good players on the ball. Off the ball, they're a little bit ropey.
So let's probably Frankfurt is playing Maccabi, and then all your scouting expertise will be used
again. Will
come
good, yeah.
So before we leave, we have a final game and a nice little story, a typical football story, because Freiburg was winning 1-0 against Bremen. With a goal scored in additional time by Maximilian Philipp. And Maximilian Philipp is a player I must confess I always liked because he's very elegant. He has something special about him. But he was also very dozy or unfocused. And so everybody could see his talent. He moved from Freiburg to Dortmund and then went on to Moscow and Dynamo Moscow and then to Wolfsburg. And it never really worked. And now he returned to Freiburg because Christian Streich and Freiburg were the starting point of his career after they found him in Cottbus in the, I think at that time, third or fourth level of German football. I think it was even the fourth level of German football after Maximilian Philipp had been kicked out of the Hertha Academy. So you see, there are, it's a strange career in a way. And yes, and he scored the goal. And probably Christian Streich is the man who will put him back on track because, as Maxi Philipp said, he knows how to talk to me. And hopefully we knew how to talk to you.
Hopefully no one's dozed off. If you're still with us at this point, thank you very much, dear listener, for staying the course. It was a delight to have you and hopefully for you to have us in your ears. Just your weekly reminder that we do need your support if you can. We have lots of paid up members and the official Beer & Honey Supporters Club is growing by the day. But we still need a few more to make sure that we can go all the way. So if you can, become a member, or even better, become an ultra and get a special limited edition Beer & Honey mug for your hot beverage of choice. And as a little token of our appreciation, there will be a special episode reacting to the draw of the Champions League on Thursday night for our esteemed members. If that's not a reason to sign up, I don't know what is. That's going to be out on Thursday night. Watch out for that. I was Raphael Honigstein.
And I was Christoph Biermann. And we say bye-bye.
Bye.
Beer & Honey, the German football podcast.